Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to How To Tuesday. I've got Captain Brandon Simmons with us. He runs the boat Into the Blue at Hawks Cay Resort. Brandon fishes for all kinds of things, sailfish, mahi, everything you can find offshore. But one of the new frontiers for many anglers is the deep drop. And in the deep drop, there are some incredibly good fish to eat. They're so good on the table. Barrel fish, tile fish, queen snappers. Brandon's fishing for all of them. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about kind of 101 on deep dropping. Brandon, what's going on today?
Not much, buddy. Just hanging out, enjoying my day off. One of the very few I get.
I gotcha. So you've been doing a lot of deep dropping over the last couple of years, right?
Oh yeah, a lot of deep dropping. At one point, I worked for a guy, and that seemed to be all we were doing. Which, I mean, it's some of the best fish you can eat. You get right out there in the deep ocean.
Yeah, and then as far as the is there a particular time of the year that is better for it, or is it a year round fishery? What would you consider it?
It's really a year round fishery. I haven't noticed, you know, seasons really affecting any of the fish in the deep. Obviously, you know, there's so much area out there. If you've got a good bottom machine, a good transducer, you happen to see, there's a little hump right there. A lot of times you're not going to mark the fish, and it's worth just making a drop. Say you're dolphin fishing slow while you're out there. You're out there tuna fishing and it's slow, you know, go make yourself a drop. Catch some good dinner.
Let's talk about that. So you're looking at your bottom machine and you're saying you see a little hump there. Like what would it take to catch your eye? Like how much vertical relief are you considering a little hump?
You know, it's tough to say. Me personally, I mean, I guess I should pay attention a little more because I do have some spots that are just some of the smallest little ledges. And when I say small, I mean, maybe 10, 15 feet down there. And it's so tough to see. A lot of times, you know, you're looking for those nice big humps where there'll be 850, 890 around the outside of them and 750 up on top of them. So, you know, you've got almost 100-foot difference there, which that'll hold, you know, a lot of times those are big rock piles, basically a big mountain underwater. It'll hold your snowy groupers, it'll hold your tile fish and your occasional queen snappers, all the good stuff you're looking for. But like I said, those smaller humps that I have as well, they're a lot harder to find, and it's more of one of those things that I just made a drift last a little bit too long just to see what would happen. And you get over to this certain area and it's like, oh, look at that little spot. And then pop up, you're hooked up.
Right.
You know, so right.
Do you think that really that might be that's just not a real obvious spot and everybody's fishing the obvious spots. And then maybe as you move off, could there be anything to that? Or could it just be that the smaller ledge?
I think it could have a lot to do with that. You know, you could definitely push those fish into a different area. You know, they're getting hit in the head with a 6-pound lead over and over again for a week straight. They might not want to hang out there anymore.
Right. So when you find one of these obvious spots that let's say it's between 850 feet on one side and 750 feet on the top, where are the fish going to be hanging out? Like, are they going to be on the up tide side, the down tide side? Are they going to be right on that edge or off of it? How would you kind of tell someone how to look for that?
It's almost you kind of just got to try it out. I will always do my first drift straight through the top of it. You know, a lot of fish will hang out on the top. Your queen snappers hang out off the bottom, and a lot of times will hang out down tide out of the current. If they can kind of hide off the current, they're not going to be right on top or so. They're going to be out where that slopes down and the current's running over. They're going to be hanging out right over here a little bit, you know, waiting for stuff like a snook, waiting for stuff to get pushed to them, mm-hmm. and then they'll attack. Your snowy groupers will be right on the bottom. So you want to bounce your lead on the bottom, and those will pretty much be all around it. As long as it's hard and rocky and you're not getting into the mud, you know, those snowy groupers are going to hang there. And same with, you know, the tile fish, they're a little bit more muddy. The blue lines seem to like the rocks a little better, but the goldens, I've never caught a golden tile in a rocky spot. It's always in the mud bottoms. They make little holes down there in the mud, and they're going to be down right on the bottom.
So for your somebody, barrel fish, for somebody that may not, know their electronics as well as you do, how are you determining what is mud and what is rock on your electronics?
You can't really tell on the electronics. It's just so tough. I mean, you might be able to tell the rocks for sure, but there'll be rocky areas that look like mud bottoms on your machine. When you're dropping, you'll notice that lead pounding on the bottom. Your rod tip will bang a little bit when you hit that bottom of the rock bottom. When you're drifting and you hit the mud bottom, it almost sucks down in the mud. And when it pops back up, it'll pop up real quick. It's just a real softer type bounce than that. The rock bottom is, you'll know it's rock.
Gotcha.
You'll get your lead back and it'll be mushroomed out on the bottom. You're pounding rocks down there, basically.
Got it. Okay. And then when you're getting to these places and you're going to make a drift, how long are you going to stick with that drift before you decide it's either time to roll around and do it again or try it from a different direction, or maybe that's not the right spot?
It all, you know, depends on your current and how fast you're drifting too. Obviously, once you get way past your hump that you found or your ledge, if you feel you're too far past it, then you're going to want to pick up and drift again. I would normally do like a, not quite a quarter mile of a drift, probably a little less. You're drifting fast. It doesn't seem like it, but you're probably moving, you know, 3.5 knots out there on a normal occasion. So, you know, you want to make sure you hit the whole hump, whole front of it and the whole back of it. Give yourself enough time to make sure there's nothing there. You know, you go make another drift and nothing happens again, I'd, you know, recommend go finding a new spot.
Gotcha. And then for somebody that hasn't done much of this or any of this, tell us about the rig that you're using, you know, that would be kind of a catch-all rig. Like if you didn't know what you were going to find down there, you're fishing a spot like you were just talking about that might have two or three different varieties of fish on it. What kind of rig would you start with?
So basically a lot of people call them chicken rigs, or they're 5-hook rigs. Some of them could even be more than that. I like to use a regular 5-hook rig, for anything. If you're just basically targeting everything, you want, you know, at least 150-pound test on everything. There, big 8 to 9-0 circle hook. Definitely you want a circle hook, no J hooks. You want them to be able to hook themselves down there. And, squid, a lot of squid, whole squids. That is pretty much the rig that I would use for everything. Now, when you get into things like queen snappers, they're a little smarter than your average deep drop fish. They've got big old eyes and it just seems they see a little better. I will go down to about 80 to 100 pound on the leader side of it. So you've got a big main line of your 5-hooks coming off. I like to use a little bit lighter on my leader on that one. I seem a little bit lighter and a little bit longer. Normally those rigs are only about 5 inches, you know, a little 8, 10 inch, just a little bit more. Seems to work a lot better.
Okay. And as far as these rigs go, if you're going to do this for the first time, is this something that you can buy, or are you making all of your own rigs?
You can buy basically any rig you want. Any tackle store should have what you need, and they'll have different sizes. They'll have huge, big old rigs on them for, you know, monsters of the deep. But basically, you know, you don't want to get anything too big. Just a nice, simple, easy rig with a good old 8-0 circle hook on there. It'll work good just about anything on the bottom.
Okay. And then your leads, you're getting those at the tackle shop as well?
Yep. Big long stick leads. Basically from 5 pounds to 8 pounds is what I like to use on the deep drop rod. If you got to go more than that, the current's really too strong. You're going to have tough hooking anything anyways.
Okay.
So,
and then where are you keeping these 5 pound lead weights on the way out to the spot?
I have a container, just basically a Tupperware container, a big one. I lay a towel in there and I lay them all in the towel. That way they don't beat the whole boat up because they are big and heavy. And if you put them in the wrong place, they're going to cause damage to the boat for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's what
most of them will fit in your rod holders too, and they'll be fine just sitting right in the rod holders. But I like to keep them wrapped in a towel, just, you know, a little extra cushion for them.
Okay. And of the fish we've talked about, the queenfish, snowy grouper, which are pretty restricted, I think. Tilefish. What else are we talking about? Barrelfish. What's your favorite on the table?
On the table, probably, man, a barrelfish is so good. There's, if anyone's ever seen one, they basically have slime all over them. It looks like Ghostbusters slime, which is pretty disgusting. But the meat is like grouper. It's big, thick fillets, real white meat. I mean, it's as good as it gets. All of those fish are top of the line fish. I mean, you could put those up against anything you catch on the reef or anywhere else, and I'd probably eat all four of those fish before anything else you could bring me to the dinner table.
Right on. Yeah, I love those fish. What is it? I mean, when you catch a barrel fish, that the amount of slime that they produce in a very short amount of time is, it has to be some sort of defense mechanism.
It's like, it has to be.
I mean, it's like, it's almost like if you could think about a skunk. Like a skunk, you corner a skunk and it's going to turn and it's going to spray you with a disgusting smell. A barrel fish is almost the same way. You pick that thing up out of the water and all of a sudden it is manufacturing gallons of slime. Like you can watch it seep underneath its scales. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I don't know. I've not come across anyone that understands what that is or why they are producing so much. I mean, many fish produce slime, but none like that I've seen.
No, that's the only thing I can think. It's a defense mechanism for whatever case. I mean, I don't know, but it is disgusting. I've had clients hug those fish and you go to take them away and it's like 4 foot of just drooping slime from the fish to their shirt.
Yeah.
It's nasty stuff.
You want to hug one? Okay, here you go. Hold on to it for just a second longer.
Let me
focus. I'm having trouble with your camera. I don't hang on. Okay, here it is. That's how you play a trick on somebody from Ohio.
That's it. That's
right.
That's
right. Right on. Okay, so the best tips that I've heard is don't hug a barrel fish. And
hug a barrel fish.
And all of the other fishing tips that you gave us. Brandon, that's awesome, man. You're deep dropping most of the year. I would imagine that in the calmer months, it might be a little more fun to deep drop, although it could be very hot on a still day. But I think if I'm sitting out there, I'd rather it be nice and calm than windy.
Yeah, no. And, you know, a lot of it is I really never just go deep dropping. I'm typically going fishing for mahis, or we're going tuna fishing or sword fishing. And it's just that thing you got in your back pocket, you know, fishing slow. I got a spot over here. Let's go make a drop. Try to get something good for the dinner table. You know, I do get people that want to strictly deep drop, and that's because they want to fill their freezers with meat, mm-hmm. you know, and it's one of those things you can basically go out there. If you bounce the bottom all day long, you're going to catch some fish on the bottom.
Got it. But I like it that you're doing it kind of as just like a little something in your back pocket or as an option. Like if the mahi fishing was good and then it gets a little slow, you can go do that for a little while. And you know, maybe you find something really cool. And then definitely, for so many people like Rich is kind of getting into it, and he has spent his whole life dolphin fishing and running over these spots his whole life, you know, and now he's just fascinated with what has been on the bottom this whole time. And you can see the wheels turning like, wow, I could have been doing this the whole time.
Exactly. Now you're not driving, really looking for birds the whole time. You're glancing at that screen every once right. in a while, you know, seeing what you ran over
every now again. And now with the electronics and the ability to just keep marking waypoints, you can just keep marking,
or even go back. You know, you can almost go back 2 miles and see what you've ran over. You might not have been paying attention, but if you scroll back, it's like, oh my gosh, look at that thing. That's a big mark. Let's go check that out.
Right.
A lot of times it's good. You know, that's how I have found most of my spots in the last 4 years. I just, you know, coming down from the tower and looking through my machine, being like, oh man, there's something there. Or we're out sail fishing, flying the kites, and you look at your machine. It's like, oh man, what did we just drift over? You go back the next day and there you go. 5 muttons on the bottom.
Right.
You
know, what a great feature feature is on the Lawrence and Simrad machines. And that's what I use. So I guess other machines have it too, but man, that is just such a great thing because, you know, it wasn't even that long ago that first of all, that was impossible. Secondly, even if you saw it, now you have to turn around and drive back over it to make, you know, to get an accurate waypoint. And man, that's a game changer right there.
It is a game changer for sure.
All right, Brandon, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and go fishing with you if they want to.
If you want to go fishing with me, you call 1-800-FISH-305.
You got it now, boy.
That's it. I got it now. It took me a little bit, but I'm getting it.
All right. 1-800-FISH-305. Ask for Captain Brandon. He's on the end of the blue boat at Hawks K Resort. Go down there and have a great family trip, or go down there and get real serious and try to fill your freezer if you want to. Either way, Brandon's a good guide and is in an outstanding place. So thanks so much, Brandon. And that's it for How To Tuesday today. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with some more tips. See you.